So, Stephen here with Lieutenant Governor-elect Lynn Rogers. First of all, I think it would probably be good for you to give me a little bit of your thoughts on what are some of the important topics and some of your hopes and goals going forward in the transition.
Okay. Well, we have about a month left before we take over and before the inaugural. And so what we've been doing is the first few weeks we've had teams going out into all of the different state agencies, finding out what's going on, talking to the current secretaries or the current staff, finding out what kinds of contracts haven't been signed, what needs to be signed, what needs to be done, what issues are they facing. Those reports are now starting to come back to us, and we're starting to make some plans for who we will be appointing. We'll be starting some discussions on that in a few days, probably after the Christmas break, but to kind of talk about who would be the right person to lead these different agencies and help us rebuild many of them to serve Kansans.
What are some of the chief concerns you've heard from these agencies you've been speaking to? I'm sure there's a lot, but maybe a quick overview of some of the biggest ones you've heard about.
We have several that are in what we would call crisis. DCF children and families, as you know, with the DCF and the foster care system, that one's major issues that we've got to face. KDADS, Department of Aging, which is mental health services, and then CanCare, that is a major issue. Some agencies aren't quite as dire, but others, they've had a lot of cuts, budget cuts, staffing that, and then of course a lot of staff are leaving because they were part of the previous administration, so we'll be needing to replace some of those just from that type of attrition. And then really figuring out what are the big issues that we want to address. And Governor-elect Kelly and myself, we really are concerned about making sure that we have a balanced budget for the legislature. We want to see, Medicaid expanded. There's rural health care is a major, major issue. Just came from a meeting where that was one of the top two issues for, farm group. And then finally, making sure that our kids are safe in the DCF program. There's a lot of other things that we have to do, but we're going to have to just do those over a period of time. We can't do everything all at one time, and we can't repair 8 years of damage in just a few months.
You mentioned the education funding. I understand Governor-elect Kelly is not very interested in raising taxes, but
right.
She also wants to increase funding for education. I understand that'll probably might be a little bit of a tough balancing act. What are your thoughts on
Well,
that?
Actually, we think it can be done. We think we can settle the lawsuit. The revenue increases that we've gotten from overturning the Brownback tax plan back in 2017 have been really well received. We're seeing revenue growth. So there's money in the bank for us to do that. We've exceeded expectations for the last 18 months. So we've got room to do that. We've got room to do a few other things. So we're going to probably present a budget that is balanced. It doesn't include a tax increase and that we'll address that. And hopefully we'll be able to settle that. It's one of those issues that we need to quit kicking the can down the road. And there are a lot of other really big issues that the governor and the legislature need to address. Our economic vitality. I'm going to be working on something called rural prosperity for our rural communities to help give them a boost. There's a lot of work that needs to be done to repair Kansas, and if we can get people growing, moving into the state, jobs moving into the state, that'll help us with a lot of revenue growth as well.
I'm definitely going to move back into the economic development topic.
Okay.
Real quick, I wanted to touch on your thoughts on the changes going on at DCF that Governor-elect Kelly has been talking about. I understand she wants to increase transparency. And
yes.
What are your thoughts about some of some of what you've heard so far and some of the plans so far about the changes?
And we haven't really announced a lot or looked at a lot of those yet at this point. But, we have had concerns about the reduction in social workers, particularly on the before a child is taken away from their parents. We used to have a group that would help keep parents and families together. And we also had a group of social workers that helped at the end of trying to reintegrate kids with their families. Both of those areas have been cut. We're also concerned about, of course, the missing kids and the kids that have died while they've been on the state watch. And so there's a lot of things like that we've really got to address. And some of these contracts that are being signed now at this point, those are things that we'll also be looking at closely.
And we were talking a little bit about economic development, kind of, sort of, in a way. Last night at the Manhattan City Commission meeting, they did an end-of-year report for the Manhattan Area Chamber of Commerce. Their economic development director was talking about their partnership with the Kansas Economic Development Alliance, KEDA. And he said that they're going to be pushing really hard this year to come up with an economic development strategy. And he said that Kansas hasn't had one. 30 years. What are your thoughts on the economic development strategy going forward?
Well, we have, you know, we've kind of decimated the Department of Commerce that has served in that role. We've had cuts of staff of over 45% since 2008, and there's just not as many people doing what we used to do. We used to have salesmen out around the country that would sell Kansas, and they would find companies that were interested, and then local communities would get weekly reports, and they could follow up on them and recruit them into the communities. We've done away with that. We don't have salesmen, and you know, when you lay off your sales force, that's not good for marketing. And so we have to rebuild, you know, our Department of Commerce. I think one of the biggest drawbacks or one of the biggest difficulties with that is that we've not been able to partner with local communities like Manhattan. You know, I don't know about the 30 years, but I do know that we've not been really good partners in the last few years. And there's a lot of communities that have some economic development resources. But they can always use some extra expertise on the state level. And so, you know, the state will never replace or take over a local effort. But we sure can partner and we can sure help. And that's what we want to be able to do.
And you touched also earlier a little bit on Medicaid expansion. I understand Governor-elect Kelly is pretty hopeful that you'll be able to pull off a Medicaid expansion, but what are your thoughts on that as well? And I understand that there will be a cost associated with that, and that might be a little troublesome for some.
Well, there's some that feel like it's going to be a cost, but you know, I think it's going to be a plan that's going to be very Kansas-friendly. You know, many red states, or what you'd view as red states, Indiana and Texas, have expanded it, and so they've taken advantage of it. We've turned back almost $3 billion of our tax money going to other states to cover theirs. And so, you know, there's a 90% federal match to a 10% state. And we can, you know, I don't think we stop to think about how much we spend on mental health services on the county level and even on the state level that would now be covered by Medicaid expansion. And so there's a number of things that will pay for that extra 10% that we need to cover. And also the amount of jobs that it would create. You know, Louisiana created thousands of jobs and generated all kinds of additional revenue from that job growth because of the emphasis on Medicaid expansion. So I think it will pay for itself. And I think the advocates for that have you know, passed that message on, but there's still a few that you know, just don't want to change. And so we're hopeful that the average Kansan will step up and help let their legislators know that that's really important to them as well. I mean, it really will be the demise of rural hospitals if we don't do that type of thing. And even regional hospitals will be hurt. You know, for instance, Via Christi in Wichita has lost 700-800 employees in the last few years because of uncompensated care. They've had to cover it some other way. Those kinds of jobs could stay in Kansas and provide revenue to the state.
And you also touched a little bit on mental health care in your comment there. Mm-hmm. How much of an emphasis or a focus do you think the governor-elect and yourself will be putting on these regional crisis stabilization centers? I understand that during the campaign, that was more the route that Governor-elect Kelly was thinking of going for mental health care.
Right, as opposed to you know, reinvesting or building a bigger hospital in Osawatomie or something like that. One of the things about a regional basis is they'll be closer to home, less transportation costs. You know, again, I come from Wichita. Cedric County spends $500,000 a year on transporting patients to and from Osawatomie. You know, if you're doing that here in Riley County, same thing, it's going to be very expensive. You know, and we're not quite sure what our plan is on that. Kansas used to have a stellar mental health services, and our local mental health providers still do a great job, but they're you know, they're not compensated well, and they're a little bit overwhelmed, and we don't have acute and long-term care facilities that are really going to help us in the long run. So we really have to address that. Again, I think Governor-elect Kelly and myself, one of the things that Governor Kelly, I think, has done in her Senate career is brought people to the table, and that's what we'll do in this case, is bring the experts that are working on it on a regular basis, sit them around a table and say, okay, how do we fix this? Let's not kick it down the can any the can down the road any longer, but let's fix it. And it may take 5 years or 10 years or something like that, but what is our path for success?
And very recently, the Farm Bill was passed, and included in that is rural, some provisions for rural broadband expansion. What are your thoughts on the importance of that, and what do you envision the state's role will be in that process of improving internet connectivity?
Well, the legislature just created a broadband task force. They were actually supposed to meet today, and it got canceled. So we're looking forward to that work of that committee. There'll be some House and Senate members as well as individuals. We have to do it. I mean, if we want to create jobs in rural Kansas, if we want farmers and ranchers to use their equipment, that's all tied into their broadband and wireless services. And so, again, we have to have it no matter where you're located. Drones need it for their use. Agribusiness needs it for tractors and combines and things like that. So it is something that we really have to address.
I'm not sure if you're familiar. Here in Manhattan, the city just agreed to, once they finish the plant, Westar finishes the plant, they're going to be purchasing 50% of their energy from wind power.
Oh, yes.
And I was reading an article also talking about kind of Kansas being sort of like a green heart for green energy in the middle of the country with expanding wind energy. What do you think about the importance of just this expansion of wind energy, especially for the state?
Well, we get a lot of our energy from wind. I think the last numbers, if I'm not mistaken, was about 35%. At least for some of the larger utilities. And a lot of states, particularly Iowa, have used that to attract other green companies, Google, Facebook, for some of their big servers and plants and facilities. We've kind of missed the boat on that. We could encourage more of that type of economic development from that standpoint. So and also, we control our own energy production. So that's a good sign as well.
And there's a couple topics that I attended the Riley County sort of lobbyist group where they met with a lot of local state representatives.
Okay.
Sidney Carlin, Ron Hyland, and Tom Phillips was there.
Okay.
Steve Swanson was there.
Oh, good.
And they're talking kind of about their hopes and their goals in the upcoming legislative session. And I was hoping just to bounce a few of those important topics and see your thoughts on, whether it's something that'll be worked on, what's your thoughts on it in general.
Okay.
And one important one that been talked about here since I got here has been the dark store theory.
Oh.
Are you familiar with it?
Yes, we're a large merchant of some kind wants to be able to be taxed based on if it's closed and empty as opposed to full and vibrant. Yeah. I do anticipate that to come up. I think one of the things we have to realize is the consequences of that is that would be pushed over into, residential taxes because you're still going to need the same amount of tax revenue to operate your county or city. And if those don't pay their fair share, I would rather see us, deal with the Mayfair, versus South Dakota tax where, the internet companies are on a level playing field with local merchants that are paying their property taxes. Again, I don't know on a lot of these. It will depend on what the legislature does and how they go. And we really don't, I can't really say we support it or not support it. It'll really come down to what the legislation looks like ultimately, too.
And I imagine that might be similar for a provision for home rule for counties. Another thing that Riley County seems very interested in is passing a law allowing home rule for counties, which already exists for municipalities.
Yeah.
They're interested in that as well. Do you think that would have any traction, or is that maybe hard to find?
Well, I know we've done that before in the legislature for school districts. They have home rule now, unless the state has a law outside of it. I was not aware that the county, like Riley County, didn't have it. I thought we had it in Sedgwick County, but that would be something I'll have to look into. So, but I do, Governor-elect Kelly and I, one of the things, principles that we believe is that local control, local decisions usually are better than state decisions if they can be made on a local level. Sometimes, of course, they do affect larger areas, and so the state has to be involved. But we really think it's best for local decision makers. They're much closer to their constituents.
And I guess one of my last topics really is sort of your thoughts on the possibility or the prospect of medical marijuana legalization or just in general marijuana legalization is a hot topic around the country. And, you know, people are looking at states like Colorado and the revenue they're pulling in and wondering whether it's possible here in Kansas. Is that on the radar for your administration? Or is
medical marijuana would be, and I think there's interest in the legislature to do that. And, of course, that's where it would have to, you know, come from. You know, I don't believe there would be enough votes to do adult marijuana to, you know, to the state. But medical marijuana would definitely be something that we would be open to. I know both Governor-elect Kelly and myself said that on the campaign trail. You know, adult medical marijuana, you know, they don't generate a panacea of tax revenues. You know, the numbers I saw are $7 to $8 million a year, but that's, you know, more than we have for none of it now. But I do think the medical marijuana, particularly we've had a number of instances of families where the oil and whatnot can be very helpful to their medical conditions, and we also heard it from a number of folks for, you know, pain management, and I think the medical world is kind of coming around a little bit on that, particularly in regards to controlling the opioid epidemic. So, yeah, it's something we're open to. And I do think, you know, I've heard some rumblings in legislators, folks that are normally pretty conservative that are interested in looking at that as well. So we would definitely be open to their ideas. So,
and speaking of sort of opioids, I believe the Riley County has $75,000 or $100,000 grant they received recently for opioid prevention. Do you hope to step up those efforts in the coming years?
Well, I would hope we could. I mean, Kansas has been fortunate. We've not been hit as hard as some other states. And I know some of the work that's already been done of doctors and pharmacies reporting who's getting them so that they can kind of cross-check if someone's gaming the system, so to speak. That's been very helpful to keep the amount of illegal opioids out. But I do hear from our law enforcement folks, one of the things they tell us is that more you know, synthetic over the border type stuff is coming in. And so it is something that we've got to constantly be aware of and be ready to respond to. So,
and are there any other sort of main ideas or topics or plans going forward in the transition that you were hoping to talk about that I didn't ask about?
Well, I mean, one thing is in our transition process, we are taking applications and we're interested in folks that are willing to serve in the administration. If they are, we'd like them to go to kellytransitionteam.com, I believe, and they can apply, and that can be either for a full-time position or even something where they might serve on a board or commission. We'd be open to looking at that, and we're looking for folks, you know, throughout the state to help us in that regard. So if they want to roll up their sleeves and get to work, we'd be glad to look at it. So
and what types of jobs would be available?
Well, there's a lot of agency jobs, and then there are boards and commissions to give advice to legislators and to the governor. You know, there's a number of those, and so if there's a particular interest, what we're trying to do is I'm just encouraging people to tell us that they're interested in XYZ, and you know, if something comes up, it'd be something that we would, you know, consider them.
So. Is there a deadline that they need to be aware of?
No, not necessarily. It's just something they can always. Yeah, I mean, we do have a lot of positions to fill, and we'll be working on that. But you know, if there's down the road, and I would say too, if people have questions, you know, to make sure that they contact us, you know, in the governor's office. One of the things that we heard loud and clear throughout the campaign was that many people felt like Kansas and Topeka in particular were no longer listening to them. And so, one of my jobs as part of my task will be to get out and travel and visit, you know, these kinds of radio interviews as well as, you know, individual coffees and updates. So we want to do that, but, you know, we want to make sure people come and talk to us and visit and let us know what they're thinking. So
thanks for coming out.
Good. Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure.